I'm Tony Hendra.
And I'm Jeff Chrysler.
And this is the Final Edition Radio Hour.
30 minutes of sizzling satire with teeth.
Sheriff Paul Babiu, Romney for President co-chair in Arizona, tried to have his Mexican boyfriend deported when he went public with their affair. This has finally prompted the GOP to do something about its state of denial that prominent Republicans can be as gay as the next guy. Republican leaders will fund a new political action committee called RAMBLA, the Republican American Man Boy Love Association. Meet RAMBLA's executive board.
Hi, I'm Pastor Ted.
Hi, I'm Senator Larry Craig.
Hi, I'm the Reverend Reekers.
Hi, I'm ex-Congressman Mark Foley.
Hi, I'm Indiana Representative Philip Hinkle.
And I'm Sheriff Paul Babiu.
And we're proud to be heading up RAMBLA, the Republican American Man Boy Love Association.
Speaker of the House, John Boehner.
We are funding RAMBLA to fight for the rights of prominent Republicans who, even though they aren't really gay, long to know more about young gay men and whether they're capable of real, true, lasting love and how they would express that love. RAMBLA's message is this. In 2012, it's time to recognize that while same-sex marriage is wrong, wrong, and wrong again, love between men, especially older men who don't look their age, and much younger men, is as American as apple pie with a scoop of saffron cinnamon sorbet. Look, servicing gay men is not RAMBLA's mission. No. RAMBLA is for those many, many Republicans who aren't gay, and in some cases, are violently anti-gay. But all the same, just like being with and sleeping in the same general area as teenage boys with dreamy eyes, creamy skin, tousled hair they can muss. But in a non-dirty, non-sexual way. Is that too much to ask? Love and the freedom to be me? Last time I looked, we call that the American dream.
This portion of the Final Edition Radio Hour is brought to you by the Chinese Express Card.
Honorable rates, celestial rewards.
Oh, Mommy, if you can't afford one of these incredible flugelhorns they make in China, I'll never, never, never stand a chance of winning the world-famous Jungfrau Flugelhorninfest in Lauterbrunnen this summer.
Honey, I don't have the money. You'll just have to make do with the wooden flugelhorn Daddy carved you before he was crushed by that runaway cable car.
Tight money getting you down? Borrow as much as you want to keep buying all the wonderful Chinese goods you've grown so accustomed to, you must have them. Unlimited credit, years to pay, lavish rewards programs, no one turned down, no annual fee, competitive interest rates, we will not be undergouged. Cut up your Amex, MasterCard, Visa, and Discover cards and apply for your Chinese Express card, gold, platinum, or rare earth. Today! You want it? You got it!
Gold card benefits, privileged treatment at Chinese takeout restaurants anywhere in the world, complete annual acupuncture, reduced rates on major city suburban bus lines. Platinum card, first delivery from Chinese takeout restaurants anywhere in the world, complete monthly acupuncture, free passes on major city suburban bus lines. Rare earth card, confidential. Register online now for amazing pleasure benefits. Do it today!
It's time for Breaking Heads.
Oh!
In wake of assassination attempts, relationship between Israel and Iran hits record level of unresolved sexual tension.
Nationwide strike in Greece slightly increases Greek productivity.
Syrian police bludgeon demonstrators. Ask them, why are you bludgeoning yourself? Stop bludgeoning yourself. Time for the first annual The Final Edition Radio Hour Guide to Oscar-nominated films. Check out if the celebritocracy we support with our hard-won dollars is doing its job.
The Artist.
George Valentin, Jean Valjean, is a top star of the silent screen, a dashing combination of Douglas Fairbanks and Fatty Arbuckle. But when talkies are invented, George finds he's forgotten how to speak without drooling. His career fizzles, but rising talkie star Pepe Miller, Berenice Bejo, teaches him a valuable lesson. He can make a poignant movie about a star of the silent screen whose career has fizzled.
The Ironing Lady.
Dejected and bored, after her time as Prime Minister is over, Margaret Thatcher, Meryl Streep, tries to adjust to being an ordinary housewife again. But despite the encouragement of her dead husband, Archibald, Jim Broadbent, she never really figures out how to recapture the excitement of fucking over the working class and the poor.
Extremely unlikely and unbearably mawkish.
A happily married couple, Tom Hanks and Sandra Bullock, and their happy young son, Timmy Cutechild, are very happy, but the audience is very sad, knowing that Tom is doomed to die on 9/11, the only movie star casualty of that tragic day. When the boy finds that his dad left behind a mysterious key, he embarks on a Homeric quest to discover a plot that will make the increasingly resentful audience forget that they're being shamelessly manipulated.
Now the final edition's finance feature, Money or Die. In an effort to cut spending and reduce bureaucracy, the United States government has begun using military drones to evict families from foreclosed homes. White House Press Secretary Jay Carney explained.
This program not only increases efficiency in the real estate market, but it reduces the deficit by replacing sheriffs and their expensive pensions, health care, and mustache maintenance. It adds to the unemployed, sure, but drones don't get tired, they don't have mouths to feed, and they usually don't employ racial and misogynistic imagery in executing their duties.
At a meeting of the National Sheriffs Association of America, for America, Sheriff R.P. Coltrane told a harrowing tale of being threatened by a drone.
I got pulled over by a drone while driving round off duty with my hound. Broke my taillight and all with a laser-guided baton. It then shoved me with said baton and told me the town wasn't big enough for the two of us.
Al Sharpton today joined the nation's sheriffs in opposing the new program.
This program of drone evictions is deeply racist and must stop. It has put both of America's African-American sheriffs out of work.
We tried to speak with some of the drones, but they had no comment. Based upon the early popularity of the program amongst bank executives and families who haven't been vaporized, the Obama administration has ordered a fleet of drones designed to hunt, kill, and defund students past due on their Perkins loans.
Once in a generation, a movie comes along that defines a generation. Discover the world of alternative reality as two men set out on the road. They're rejected. They're outnumbered. They're looking for America, and they can't find it anywhere. They're Republicans, or as they like to be known, writers.
Where are you boys heading?
We're looking for America, officer.
Oh, well, you can find that almost anywhere. I know there's lots of Americans in New York City.
New York isn't America.
You sure? It's one of the oldest parts of the country.
It's not America.
Okay, well, you know, America started in Massachusetts.
That's not America either.
Really? Well, Vermont.
Look, just forget about New England altogether.
This summer, get your motor running and head out on the highway with Easy Rider.
Born to be white.
So nowhere on the West Coast, huh?
No.
Minnesota? Michigan?
No.
Well, how about Washington, D.C.? It's actually the capital of...
No!
Freedom, man. That's what it's all about. Free to make other people pray the way you want. Free to pay workers less than minimum wage. And free to choose who gets to be free.
Look, maybe I should just try some part of America that, like, tried to secede from America at some point.
Atlanta?
Ted Turner came from Atlanta, right? He's married to Jane Fonda.
It's not easy being an easy writer.
You're listening to the Final Edition Radio Hour.
It's time for Breaking Heads.
Oh!
Menstruation to be capital crime in Virginia under new personhood law.
Study. Female suicide bombers now earn as much as male counterparts.
Nation's bigots, alarmed by wave of same-sex marriage victories, demand equal protection.
This is the Final Edition Radio Hour Oscar Guide.
The Descendants.
Matt King, George Clooney, is a rich Hawaiian volcano owner who has successfully ignored his family until a boating accident leaves his wife, in a coma. He then decides it's time to get to know her better. Matt adds new meaning to his empty life when he attaches strings to her and makes her dance.
Warhorse.
A poor West Cockney farm boy, Justin Bieber, is heartbroken when his favorite horse, Cedric, Irving the Talking Stallion, gallops off to enlist in the army. Determined to rescue his beloved steed from the horrors of World War I, the naive young lad goes to France, only to find that Cedric is now a colonel and prefers commanding an infantry regiment to pulling a plow. In a brilliant switch-on-the-stage version of Warhorse, director Steven Spielberg gives us real horses, but all the humans are puppets.
The Final Edition is proud to launch the nation's first-ever zombie advice column. Each week, our resident zombie, Kevin the Advice Columnist, answers your questions. On to the first batch of blood-soaked letters.
While pursuing a plump hedge fund manager the other day, I fell and then was run over by a speeding truck, which severed my body at the waist. I don't mind crawling around with my entrails spooling out 15 feet behind me, but I do get tired of all the neighborhood kids pointing and making cruel jokes at my expense. Am I being oversensitive?
Frankly, yes. Sensitivity is for humans, not Z's. We smell bad, we look worse, and our table manners are beyond atrocious. Face it, we're slobs and we deserve ridicule. Get used to it. As far as your crawling is concerned, I suggest you get hold of one of those motorized wheelchair things. Once you've eaten its occupant, you'll be a zombie with zip.
Night before last, I was bitten on the left buttock by a weird guy on the E-train. And this morning I find I've become one of the living dead. Should I phone my boss and tell him I won't be performing my normal duties today? I'm a paralegal at a law firm. Or should I just go to the office and eat him?
No need to shamble to work. Just grab a passing jogger or mailman right in your own neighborhood. You'll find live humans in most locales are abundant, incautious, and delicious. And anyway, your working days are over. Welcome to the Z lifestyle. Rawr!
My girlfriend Lori and I became Z's at about the same time. And we still hang out together, often sharing our favorite snack, scorched cerebellums. Problem is, our sex life has diminished to zero. Lori seems to find my rotting, though still attractive, flesh unappealing. And even when I overpower her, I can't get my loins to awaken. I tried eating a guy who had just taken some Viagra, but it didn't help.
Wow, you're that rarest of Z's, one who is still into sex. After the big makeover, most of us find hanky-panky uninteresting, not to mention impossible. Preoccupied as we are with devouring humans or standing perfectly still, staring vacantly into the middle distance, my advice is to seek out a competent therapist or counselor, making sure, of course, that he has solid credentials, and eat him.
I know I'm supposed to be looking forward to the zombie apocalypse, when vast hordes of us will swarm across the land, wreaking havoc on an unparalleled scale, blah, blah, blah. But one thing worries me. Once human civilization has been reduced to scattered bands of terrified survivors, perilously clinging to a bleak and hopeless existence in the wild. Who will we eat?
Don't worry so much. Have some faith in Mother Nature. She has a way of making things work out in loathsome and disgusting ways. You know, we zombies can go for years without feeding. That's because we're dead and our bodies mostly don't work, so they require minimal nourishment. Besides, a lot of us feel that the real fun isn't eating people, it's chasing them. That terrified, disbelieving look in humans' eyes as I lurched toward afford them? Priceless. Yes, I'm an optimist, and I believe there will always be someone around for me to snack on. Oh, I would just put some Neosporin on that. You want to keep it moist.
This portion of the Final Edition Radio Hour is brought to you by the Chinese Express Card. Honey, what's wrong?
Matthew is just so unfair. Here we are in Maryland, finally able to get married, and we don't have a proper chuppah.
Simon, honey, I'm sure the rabbi will know where to rent one.
Rent? Rent? No! I want us to have our own chuppah that we will treasure forever! And I want it to be top of the line, an imported one from China.
It's not in the budget, Simon.
Bitch!
Gold card benefits. Privileged treatment at Chinese takeout restaurants anywhere in the world. Complete annual acupuncture. Reduced rates on major city suburban bus lines. Platinum card. First delivery from Chinese takeout restaurants anywhere in the world. Complete monthly acupuncture. Free passes on major city suburban bus lines. Rare earth card. Confidential. Register online now for amazing pleasure benefits. Do it today!
In a dramatic development, a dead man has entered the Republican presidential race. With gaffe-ridden Romney sinking in the polls and clinically insane Santorum rising, the GOP leadership has been desperate for a compromise candidate who everyone can agree on. When Franklin Stark III, a mid-level executive in the Republican National Committee, died last week, they reached out to his family and begged them to let the well-liked Stark's remains run for the White House. They agreed. Our Stone Peck is at Stark headquarters in Kansas City.
I'm with the latest Republican candidate's son, Franklin Stark IV. How do you feel about your father's candidacy?
America's gonna love my dad. He won't make gaffes. He won't alienate key voters. He won't flip-flop. Boy, look at him there in the coffin. Cool, calm, collected, a little smile on his lips, strong and silent. Nothing fazes him. He's the perfect Republican candidate. He's dead. Hi, Dad. Love ya.
And hey, isn't that one of Apple's new iTunes?
Yeah, amazingly lifelike, isn't he? Hard to believe that casket is only 4 centimeters thick.
Political analysts are surprisingly optimistic about Stark's chances, especially in upcoming debates. Unlike all the other candidates, who say something disastrous every time they open their mouths, something which will come back to haunt them if they face President Obama, the dead guy will never open his mouth ever again. He's already taken a commanding lead in his home state of Missouri. Frederica Golgoth is Missouri's Stark for President chairperson.
Stone, we have great pride and excitement here over a deceased American running for the highest office in the land for the first time in history. And of course, this is Missouri, so we've had enormous success with our slogan, Missouri loves dead guys.
That's right. This is the state where former Attorney General John Ashcroft ran for Senate in 2004 and lost to a dead guy, former Governor Mel Carnahan.
Yep, we have no problem electing dead people to high office here in Missouri, and we don't reckon America will either.
The dead candidate has also received an enthusiastic endorsement from Tim Pawlenty, the former Republican presidential candidate whose chief appeal to voters was that he appeared to be dead. But the dead man's candidacy is not without controversy. Many conservative Republicans are divided, like these we spoke to at a recent campaign rally for Rick Santorum.
Strangle all the prostitutes! Strangle all the prostitutes! Strangle all the prostitutes! Birth control is murder! Birth control is murder! Birth control is murder!
How do we know if this dead guy is pro-life?
Of course he's pro-life! You think he's happy to be dead? Who could be more pro-life than a dead guy?
Everyone and anyone who isn't dead, numbnuts. How the hell is a dead guy a good representative for the pro-life movement? He's dead!
I don't care. He's got my vote. Pro-life, no pro-life. What matters is where he stands on putting people to death. And there ain't no question that a proud dead man is gonna be in favor of capital punishment!
Yeehaw! Woo-hoo!
Go red, vote dead. Go red, go red, go red.
Finally, in more bad news for the rest of the Republican pack, the GOP leadership unveiled a plan that could hugely expand the voter rolls and their base. Their proposal? If a dead Republican can run for president, why can't dead Republicans vote for him? Stay tuned for more excitement with the dead guy. It's time for Breaking Heads.
Oh!
ESPN.com headline after Dirk Nowitzki game winner, Hitler with your best shot, wins a Shorty Award.
Nation's copy editors hold rally calling for retirement of Novak Djokovic.
West Virginians vote to legalize medicinal crystal meth.
It's the final edition Radio Hour Oscar Guide.
Sherlock Holmes meets the girl with the dragon tattoo.
In the somewhat convoluted adaptation of 8 or 9 different books, plays, and TV series, Holmes and Watson, Mandy Patinkin and Patti LuPone, team up with Lisbeth Salander and Mikael Blomkvist, Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie, to stop Tom Cruise, from making another Mission Impossible movie.
Tinker, Toiler, Tippler, Temp.
When aging spy handler George Smiley, Gary Oldman, is laid off by the super-secret British intelligence agency MI-11, he gets a temp job as a groundskeeper at a golf course, only to realize that there is a Soviet mole operating somewhere under the back nine.
Now, an important message from our favorite Southern Baptist, the Reverend John Hagee.
Today, why Christians must wipe out the environment. Folks ask me, Reverend, how come we need laws against witchcraft? Because the heathen practice witchcraft, and environmentalists are heathens. Witches and warlocks who worship the moon and trees. They hug trees and fornicate with them. They kidnap Christian babies with long-range magic and feed them to endangered species. The environment is heathen. Do endangered species worship the Lord and sing hymns and raise their children in the fear of the Lord? No. They sit around never doing a lick of work, naked as the day they was born, with their 6 doodads banging around between the legs and fornicating with any female that comes down the trail. The environment is dark-sided. The environment sends us hurricanes, tsunamis, snowstorms, forest fires, floods, pestilence. Where does a plague of frogs come from? Or boils or black fly? From some fine Christian oil or coal company? No siree, Bob. They come from the environment. Without strip mining and clear cutting and bulldozing, without chemicals and pollutants and the Army Corps of Engineers, God bless their holy earth movers, we would be engulfed in a nightmare called the environment. Hungry, thirsty, cold and naked, having spotted owls and Canada geese pecking out our eyes, having our steaming entrails ripped from our bellies by polar bears and snail darters. Every single one of these heathen killers coming from where, brethren and sistren? Idaho? No, the environment. The Lord God gave us the environment to wipe out. The Lord wants a planet stripped of heathen trees and sinful species. Oceans emptied of fat, lazy whales, and freeloading baby seals. He doesn't want to see a speck of green. Green makes the Lord see red. Green is the color of envy and witch vomit. God wants a spotless white planet, ready for him to destroy utterly when he returns. For the Messiah is coming, America. Wherefore, rejoice.
And last in our Oscar guide is our movie of the year, which was unfortunately nominated for nothing.
Kira Needs a Spanking.
When a disturbed young woman, Keira Knightley, shows up with a toothache so bad it distends her jawbone 3 feet beyond her face, Ace Shrinks, Sigmund Freud, Viggo Mortensen, and Carl Gustav Jung, Michael Fassbender, invent dent analysis to save her. But the two geniuses quarrel over who gets to experience transference with Kira in the very naughty nude spanking scene. Young wins the coin toss, but Freud never forgives him and sneakily connives to obtain a more favorable Wikipedia article than his rival.
You've just listened to episode 4 of The Final Edition Radio Hour, Satire with Teeth. For your fill of brilliant, cutting, and outrageous articles, images, videos, and laughs, visit www.thefinaledition.com at least once a day. Today's episode was brought to you by actors Kevin Janis, Barry Lank, Darby Worley, Anne Tuchel, Jeff Kreisler, and Tony Hendra. The writers were Peter Kleiman, Jay Welch, Louis Grossberger, Regan Henson, Barry Lank, Kevin Janis, Dan Frick, Joseph Rocha, Jeff Kreisler, and Tony Hendra.
Music by Kevin MacLeod.
Our engineers were Giselle Hernandez and Greg Russ, and the producers are Jeff Kreisler and Tony Hendra. The Final Edition Radio Hour is a production of The Final Edition, LLC. Copyright 2012.